Welcome to another exciting episode of National Bugle Radio on the Republic Broadcasting Network, RBN, republicbroadcasting.org. It's where you go for free speech, and free speech isn't cheap, so click on the donate button, send a donation, and go to nationalbugle.com. If you scroll down a bit, you'll see the Co-Certified link. You can click on that. You can download the Co-Certified app. We all need it. We have to be ready. Get it while it's hot. And while you're on nationalbugle.com, look at all of those stories that Mark Dankoff has put up there on the big board. And we're going to talk about that with Mark Dankoff right now. Mark, welcome to the show.
Well, it's always great to be on the Republic Broadcasting Network. And, of course, this is Democratic National Convention Week. And with the promotional that I did for this show on Twitter, I said among the many contributions that we would talk about in today's show is the National Rifle Association's American Rifleman, which has an incredible exclusive on Che Guevara, believe it or not, and on the weapons that Che Guevara liked, along with something of a chronicle of Che's history. And the title of the article is the favorite guns of a dead revolutionary. So I thought it would be important just to throw that in. And I mentioned to people that, this whole business of the Democratic Party and guns and revolutionaries and communists and all of these other people running around today, that I thought it was kind of an interesting timing that the NRA's American Rifleman had what is admittedly a very interesting, fascinating piece on Che Guevara and his favorite guns. So that's something that, of course, may well be out there online. I don't know if it is. I'll get it up in the big board. But we certainly have a lot of other stuff to talk about tonight.
Okay. So where do we start?
Well, I will try to go as quickly as possible and then maybe go back to several of the stories that may be of particular importance to us, domestic stories, as we go through this Democratic National Committee Week or Convention Week, and what it might mean for us. So let's look at war and foreign policy just briefly. Teaching Torture, the Death and Legacy of Dan Mitrione. That comes to us from Brett Wilkins from Counterpunch. Dan Mitrione was killed in the pre-dawn darkness of Monday, August 10th, 1970. Who was this guy and why was he killed? Read the story. We've got it up there on the big board. It certainly gets into some very, very unpleasant things that involve the CIA and that involve all kinds of methodologies and activities that give us great pause for concern in this particular case, especially in South America. Larry Romanoff from the UNS Review has an 8,800-word essay packed with information. It's entitled The Anger Campaign Against China. Mm-hmm. This is something, of course, Dr. Slattery, that's been a particular concern for you. And basically what Romanoff does here is that he tells us that it shouldn't be a secret, though it still seems to be, that neither of the two world wars were started or desired by Germany, he says, but were the creation of a group of European Zionist Jews with the stated intent of the total destruction of Germany. He is suggesting now, in terms of China, and this is a real, real concern here, is that he wants to demonstrate to us that not only does history repeat itself, quote-unquote, but that this history is being repeated today as a mass grooming of the Western world's people, but most especially Americans, as a preparation for World War III, which Larry Romanoff believes to be imminent. Mm-hmm. Let's hope that he's wrong, but that is a fascinating 8,800-word essay, and a lot of that involves China. So take a look at that story.
Does he mention the coronavirus at all?
I did not read the thing through in its entirety because it's 8,800 words long. This weekend I'm going to read the entire essay, maybe have more to say about it Monday morning on ACH's show with UK Generations. But nonetheless, it is really interesting reading because Romanoff does tell us in my first scan of the article that, in fact, we are being prepared for an incredibly imminent and an incredibly dangerous situation that obviously is not a real source of concern for mainstream media. Neither is it being discussed by the Republican and Democratic parties. The Democratic Party, in this case, we zero in on because it is the week of their convention. The Tehran Times talked to me about JCPOA, Trump, Bolton, and Empire. The text of that interview is up there under War and Foreign Policy for people to take a look at. Press Television says that the U.S. has been knocked over the head by allies as it tries to snap back Iran's sanctions.
So JCPOA refers to the sanctions relief agreement that was negotiated by the Obama State Department.
Yeah, the so-called Joint Comprehensive Plan of Action from May of 2000, or actually the U.S. left the accord in May of 2018. And the fascinating thing is that this move violated U.N. Security Council Resolution 2231 that endorsed the JCPOA. And at the same time, since then, since the withdrawal of the United States unilaterally in May of 2018, Trump and Pompeo have been insisting that the United States is still a party to this thing, even though it has withdrawn. And it is pushing, the U.S. is pushing, for these so-called snapback sanctions on Iran. And that this all involves an attempt, basically, to reimpose the strictest strictures on Iran, despite the fact that Iran has, up to now at least, kept its end of the deal in JCPOA. The U.S. push to invoke this Iran deal snapback is a common-sense mockery, according to the Russians. That's also up there on the big board at nationalbugle.com. And Russia's permanent representative to international organizations in Vienna, a fellow by the name of Mikhail Ulyanov, made these remarks in a series of tweets on Wednesday and Thursday after U.S. President Donald Trump directed Secretary of State Mike Pompeo to notify the U.N. Security Council of Washington's intention to activate the mechanism. Unfortunately, virtually no one else is buying this argumentation, hence what appears to be, by all responsible accounts, a major diplomatic disaster and embarrassment for the United States and for the foreign policy initiatives of Donald Trump and especially Mike Pompeo. So keep an eye on that story. Here's one. Anna Malpas from Moscow, from AFP, reports that there is a battle to save the life of Kremlin critic Navalny after a suspected poisoning. Leading Russian opposition figure Alexei Navalny was battling for his life in a Siberian hospital on Thursday after a suspected poisoning as Germany prepared to dispatch an air ambulance to bring him to Europe for treatment. Navalny, a 44-year-old lawyer and anti-corruption campaigner, who is among President Vladimir Putin's fiercest critics, was hospitalized in the city of Omsk after he lost consciousness on a flight and his plane made an emergency landing. So we will keep an eye on that story. Putin tells Merkel that foreign interference in Belarus affairs is unacceptable. That comes to us from TASS. At the same time, of course, that the Germans are in fact saying to the Russians that the Belarusian authorities must give up the use of force against so-called peaceful demonstrators. So this whole issue of Belarus a problem for the Russians, Belarus a potential problem for the Germans and their relationship with Russia, keep an eye on that particular story.
Yeah.
So we start moving around on the big board, nationalbugle.com, go over to elections and politics. Phil Giraldi from the UNS Review has one that's hot off the press. It's not happening. The mainstream media is the enabler of American dysfunction. I put up a pretty good excerpt of that story at nationalbugle.com, but the fact of the matter is, I will simply say this, Giraldi tells us and reminds us that none of us have seen anywhere in the mainstream media a serious discussion of Israel's possible role in the Beirut bombing. This is something that the media is not talking about. What about the Jeffrey Epstein case, another one involving Israel? Media is not talking about it. What about these riots in Portland and Chicago that have been frequently ignored in the mainstream media or have been spun as peaceful protests in support of racial justice, contradicting what one could see with one's own eyes where video was available, says Philip Giraldi. These are all interesting questions to ask of mainstream media. Why are they not covering it? They are, in fact, the enablers of American dysfunction. And, of course, we can be very sure that at the Democratic National Convention this week and today and last night, there is no focus whatsoever upon these stories for some very, very obvious reasons. Also, under elections, Judicial Watch. This one is a very serious one. Tom Fitton. Judicial Watch issues a statement on the appeals court decision blocking Hillary Clinton testimony. Tom Fitton had an article on this for Breitbart, and in the official Judicial Watch statement on this appeals court decision blocking Hillary Clinton from having to testify on her emails, Fitton says that recently he made the following statement about the decision by the U.S. Court of Appeals for the District of Columbia Circuit regarding the request of former Secretary of State Hillary Clinton's and her former Chief of Staff Cheryl Mills to avoid testifying under oath about Clinton's emails. The court granted Clinton's request to avoid testimony, but denied Mills. The extraordinary appeals court decision, says Fitton, protecting Hillary Clinton from having to obey a court order requiring her to testify about her emails, is contrary to longstanding precedent and undermines the Freedom of Information Act. That is just the tip of the iceberg of what Fitton and Judicial Watch tell us about the implications of what is clearly a politicized and outrageous decision. Here's one today from Jim Hoff from the Gateway Pundit under elections. Democrat Mayor Lori Lightfoot allows Chicago's Magnificent Mile to be looted twice, but blocks leftist protesters from her own street. Hoff tells us that the city is out of control under Mayor Lori Lightfoot. We see evidence, of course, of this every day on Twitter when all of this film footage emerges of these incredible acts of violence and smashing at windows in places where it never used to happen in the business district of the Windy City. But we are also told by Jim Hoff that Mayor Lightfoot was not worried about her own home. Why? She has ordered the Chicago police to protect her neighborhood. No Black Lives Matter or Antifa rioters are allowed down Lori Lightfoot's street. But the Magnificent Mile is, according to Jim Hoft, apparently free game. Take a look at that story. Now, folks, here's one I'm not going to read over the air in terms of all of what I have down here at nationalbugle.com, but I received a text today from someone by the name of Whitney. She identifies herself as Whitney from DB Research. She has a quick survey she wanted me to engage in. Her number was 210-903-9607 for this particular survey. Apparently, she has numbers all over the country. But she asked me, would you vote to reelect President Trump if the election were held today? Number one, no. Number two, yes. I will let you read the rest of this in terms of having a good laugh, and I put up some links about what I discovered about DB Research and who is really involved in it. It is linked up to President Barack Obama's White House, by the way, in terms of a long-term partnership. The head of this so-called DB Research or DBR organization is one David Bender, a San Francisco-based pollster who happens to also be a homosexual. But the point in all of this
some
is
weird
to
stuff.
This is to say, folks, that whenever you are receiving something electronically, especially whether it's your smartphone or cell phone or your computer or whatever, and someone wants you to take a poll on anything, in this particular situation, presidential preferences, and find out who they are. Do some research, then make up your own decision as to whether or not you are going to answer. Now, in this case, I answered, but I'm not going to read this over the air. I'm going to tantalize you. If, in fact, you want to take a look at what I actually said, I hope you find it humorous and not offensive, but it's up there at nationalbugle.com with a link to what I had to say about this on V. Contacta. So, at any rate, that should force you to do some reading on nationalbugle.com either during the show or after the show. Peter Van Buren from the American Conservative. When half of New York City's tax base leaves and never comes back, without anyone left to pay for the city, the Big Apple is headed for a failed state. That's fairly obvious, folks, but this could be applied just as easily to all of the other Democrat-run cities in America.
So is it really half of the tax base?
Yes, and that's all of the details on that are in the Van Buren piece at the American Conservative. Paul Craig Roberts, by the way, who has one that we might talk about tonight in more detail, is entitled A Kristallnacht for White Americans if the Democrats win the election. That comes to us from Paul Craig Roberts at Alt World. He cites this Van Buren story from the American Conservative, among many other things, which is entitled, "When Half of New York City's Tax Base Leaves and Never Comes Back." Folks, our cities are in incredible trouble, economically, politically, culturally, in terms of crime, in terms of instability, in terms of a total change in everything you've ever known about the cities of this country. So keep an eye on that story, and if you get a chance, click on the link and read what Van Buren has to say about this at the American Conservative. And again, you can get to it on our site at nationalbugle.com. Here's one, folks, involving Julian Assange. This was sent to me by Paul Sheldon Foote of Cal State Fullerton. This is a petition and contributions appeal. Join my fight to free Julian Assange and stop U.S. extradition. This comes to us from Stella Norris from Crowd Justice. Who is this lady? I am, she says, the partner of Julian Assange and the mother of his two sons. I am fighting against his extradition to the United States. My partner, the journalist and WikiLeaks founder Julian Assange, is fighting extradition to the United States and faces 175 years in prison. I and many others are joined in that fight against extradition and his continuing imprisonment. We are appealing for your help. So take a look at that story. I just mentioned the Paul Craig Roberts piece from Alt World entitled "A Kristallnacht for White Americans." He says it's coming if the Democratic Party wins the election. Take a look at that story. New York Times has one up there, how Kamala Harris forged close ties with big tech. A lot of people who have been arguing for reform on the basis of antitrust law as it relates to big tech are very, very concerned that if Biden is elected, that Kamala Harris will ensure that there is an incredibly close link between the Biden-Harris administration and high tech and big tech in a way that will continue to facilitate the stranglehold that certain very, very significant interests have in that industry and on the political correctness of that industry. Grace Panetta reports to us from Business Insider that Steve Bannon was arrested by U.S. Postal Service agents. This arrest took place in New York on Thursday. He was charged with fraud by federal prosecutors in New York and arrested by agents from the U.S. Postal Inspection Service. Fascinating, isn't it, that he was aboard a luxury mega yacht, the $28 million Lady May, owned by Chinese businessman Guo Wengui, off the coast of Westbrook, Connecticut, according to the Hartford newspaper. When you start reading through this entire situation, it's very, very interesting that with the great controversies going on right now over this whole business of the Postal Service and over the whole business of Trump's appointee to run the Postal Service as the Postmaster General, that now the U.S. Postal Inspection Service, as in this time frame of the Democratic National Convention, arrested Steve Bannon. Keep an eye on that story.
Wow.
Reuters reports to us from the Jerusalem Post that there's an Australian cartoon of U.S. candidates Harris and Biden that has been criticized as racist. The cartoon is by Johannes Leek in the Australian newspaper, which is owned by Rupert Murdoch's News Corp, and it's known for its conservative views. And it depicted a beaming Biden saying, quote, "It's time to heal a nation divided by racism," unquote. The drawing then showed him pointing to Harris, the first black woman on a major party U.S. presidential ticket, and saying, quote, "So I'll hand you over to this little brown girl while I go for a lie down," unquote. So, folks, you decide whether or not that's racist. I certainly found it to be rather humorous. This comes to us from Reuters, courtesy of the Jerusalem Post. This then gets then to the other news. I'll try to go through this as quickly as possible.
All right. Well, maybe we should go through the other news when we get back from the other side of the break. We only have about 15 or 20 seconds before the break, but yeah. Well, let's just go off now. We'll be right back.
Very good.
Is it so? I never want to let you go. I never can say goodbye, girl. I never can say goodbye. No, 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 no. I never can say goodbye, girl.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Hey, gang. Patrick Slattery here with an important message that is pertinent to anyone who shops for groceries, eats food, or just has an inquisitive mind like myself. What I'm about to introduce you to is a segment of our food culture that has been kept so low profile to the American public that virtually no one is aware of how dominant it is on our refrigerator and cupboard shelves. What I'm talking about is the kosher certification industry and a new app, Koshertify, that delivers a comprehensive education on all aspects regarding this little-known practice. After reviewing this app, I found that it is useful for practically anyone who purchases food, regardless of their religious faith or identity. Its database of products not kosher certified is a win-win convenience for all food-conscious people. So why not check out thekosherquestion.com or click on the link at nationalbugle.com and see how modifying your grocery shopping with the Koshertified app can make a huge difference for your future.
Say the things you used to say.
And we are back. We've got some other news. What's in our other news this time?
Other news that we wish wasn't there. Here's one for you, folks. Doug Mainwaring from LifeSite News. Pope Francis praises nun for opening a trans home for men claiming to be women, calling them girls. Now, folks, this is a traditionalist Catholic site of great reputation, an impeccable reputation, that is reporting this to us with an Argentinian byline from August 18th. After a controversial nun opened in Argentina a residence for trans women, men who choose to identify as women, Pope Francis praised her work, referring to the men as girls, quote-unquote. Sister Monica Astorga Cremona, age 53, known locally in Argentina, this is for real, folks, as the quote-unquote nun of the trans, cut the ribbon on the new complex of 12 small apartments dedicated solely to housing men claiming to be women and their partners. Upon hearing the news, the Pope responded in a communication according to the nun, quote, "Dear Monica, God, who did not go to the seminary or study theology, will repay you abundantly. I pray for you and your girls," unquote. The Supreme Pontiff, according to the nun, referred to the males reported to be between 40 and 70 years old as girls, quote unquote. I ran this material by an Orthodox priest somewhere in the world, an Eastern Orthodox priest, asked him what he thought of this story. He simply said that the abyss knows no bottom. Think of that one, folks. The abyss knows no bottom. This would apparently be, and quite obviously, I think, would be an example of absolute apostasy that has eschatological overtones. But that comes to us from Doug Mainwaring from LifeSite News, a very, very reputable, traditional, responsible, careful Roman Catholic, traditional Roman Catholic site. Phil Giraldi from the UNS Review, managing the narrative. Corporations and government use internet to control information. Surprise, surprise. Take a look at the excerpt of that article that we have up at nationalbugle.com. And Ron Unz is mentioned in this particular piece by Giraldi in regard to some of the things that the folks at the Unz Review and some of the other fine alt-right sites are discovering about this whole business of how corporations and government use internet to control information and to control narrative. And I think we're watching that right now in terms of what's transpiring with the Democratic National Convention, what they're talking about, what they're not talking about. Here's a horrible story, but one that we put up because of its necessary and sad information. It's entitled Cuties. Orthodox Christian Rod Dreher, who writes from the American Conservative, pens this one. He's talking about a child porn trailer that is out there on Netflix that is promoting something that's going to appear in September. In fact, Rod Dreher, who's a very careful guy, is suggesting that the whole thing ought to be burned down. The official synopsis of Cuties is listed there for you to read at your leisure at nationalbugle.com. It involves an 11-year-old girl. And at the very end of the excerpt, Dreher says, 11, period. Years, period. Old, period. Here's the trailer. You can actually see what Rod Dreher is talking about at the American Conservative in regard to Netflix. It is absolutely evil, but necessary that we mention it to you at nationalbugle.com and mention it to you on this Republic Broadcasting Network show in order that you might be informed as to what Netflix and others continue to do with the full approval of the political elite. A political elite that is being disproportionately represented this week with the Democratic National Convention. Human Coalition from Twitter says that New York City is the abortion capital of the United States. It has more than 75,000 preborn children killed by abortion statewide in 2017, according to HealthNY.gov. In the same year, less than 1,300 born children under the age of 10 died from any cause. Take a look at that story. It is very, very sobering. It kind of goes hand in hand with what we are told at the American Conservative and Peter Van Buren is a flight from New York City that is going to, in fact, take away half of their tax base. More economic and political and cultural and societal and spiritual dislocation and turbulence. Obviously ahead for the Big Apple, obviously ahead for all of the major cities in this country. One more thing, and then maybe we'll zero in on whatever Dr. Slattery so desires. This comes to us from Joseph Gleason's, Father Joseph Gleason's Russian Faith. America is pre-revolutionary like Russia was in 1917, says an abbot and psychologist in Washington State. This comes to us from Abbot Tryphon Parsons of the All-Merciful Savior Orthodox Monastery in Washington State in the United States. We put up a link to this fine gentleman's site. But he mentions that he, this priest, Abbot Tryphon Parsons, was in his youth a socialist. He shared his thoughts on how faith can help overcome tribulations, and he compares today's events in the United States with a pre-revolutionary situation in Russia in 1917. Take a look at that story, and then if you really want to get sick as we close the news briefing, go into the whole business of Bill Clinton. And certain photos that the UK Daily Mail has now published in regard to Bill receiving a neck massage from one of Jeffrey Epstein's victims. This is very real, folks. This involves a 22-year-old lady by the name of Shantae Davies. And this gives you an idea as to what the Democratic National Convention is all about when it ignores that kind of conduct and gives Bill Clinton a very, very primetime spot on national television. Yet once again, you would think they would be trying to hide this guy, wouldn't you? But that's just how shameless they really are.
Okay,
that's
well,
a news summary.
Well, thanks for that. We'll be right back.
Anytime you're feeling lonely, anytime.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Hey gang, Patrick Slattery here with an important message that is pertinent to anyone who shops for groceries, eats food, or just has an inquisitive mind like myself. What I'm about to introduce you to is a segment of our food culture that has been kept so low profile to the American public that virtually no one is aware of how dominant it is on our refrigerator and cupboard shelves. What I'm talking about is the kosher certification industry and a new app, Koshertified, that delivers a comprehensive education on all aspects regarding this little-known practice. After reviewing this app, I found that it is useful for practically anyone who purchases food, regardless of their religious faith or identity. Its database of products not kosher certified is a win-win convenience for all food-conscious people. So why not check out thekosherquestion.com or click on the link at nationalbugle.com and see how modifying your grocery shopping with the Koshertified app can make a huge difference for your future.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. While we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country, here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store or call us.
800-724-2719, extension 3. 800-724-2719, extension 3.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
After about a month of Extendovite, I don't know what it is about the circulation factor. I was able to increase the weight, increase the amount of sets I could do. It has to do with the oxygen getting to the blood. You should market this as an athletic performance. And I don't change anything about my diet or anything. I just thought, this is amazing. Bilberry extract has got something called resveratrol in it, which is the same stuff that you get from red wine. It's also good for eyesight. And I was reading that the Royal Air Force during World War II would give their pilots bilberry jam so they could have better night vision stuff. This is amazing.
To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Will do anytime you say you want me back again. That's the time I'll come back home to you.
We are back. One quick question regarding that Bill Clinton story, and you know, why is this coming out now and why aren't they covering it up? Well, getting a neck massage from they showed the pictures, and I assume the woman was fully dressed and everything, and from a 22-year-old, do you think they're releasing it because they're saying, look, there's nothing to see here. A full-grown woman, neck massage, nothing to see here.
Now, I think what it does, and I think the Daily Mail in its summary of the story actually gets into this a little bit. The Daily Mail takes the position that the pictures are a quote-unquote ill-timed reminder of Clinton's links to Epstein. Jeffrey Epstein is the former president, 72, prepares to endorse Joe Biden at the Democratic Convention. This, of course, was a night or two ago. And as you look at this whole situation, the interesting thing is that whether you're talking about Bill Clinton and Epstein, Hillary Clinton with Ed Butt or Ed Buck, or you're talking about some of the things that have involved both of the Clintons in photographs with Epstein and with Ghislaine Maxwell, it really is quite fascinating that the Democrats don't seem to be, and the public does not seem to be, particularly agitated by this, because you would think, and this I think gets into the complete change in the American culture in my lifetime, when my parents were in the primes of their lives and were voting in elections in the late 1940s and 50s and throughout the 1960s and the 70s, a Bill Clinton, I don't believe, could have been elected to the American presidency based on what did come out on him in 1992. The fact that he was elected that year, I think, was a very, very significant sign that America was changing as the old World War II era guard was slowly being replaced by the people who came of age in the 1960s. Now we start talking about reminders of some very, very gross things that involve Clinton, not simply with obviously 26 some odd trips to Pedophile Island with Epstein, but going back to all the details of which we are aware about the Monica Lewinsky scandal and the things that involve people like Juanita Broderick and so forth. It's just amazing, again, that the American public has not decided, apparently, that it has had quite enough of this guy yet, or his wife, despite not only the sexual misconduct, it seems to me, but all of the things that have swirled around the Clintons for many, many years. Okay. Whitewater, the mysterious deaths of Ron Brown and Vince Foster, among many others. Certainly Hillary Clinton's conduct in the Benghazi situation, Bill Clinton's not only his personal sexual misconduct, but his illegitimate bombing of Serbia in 1999 in what was a war crime, in my judgment. None of this ever seems to stick to these people. And this is, I think, where Tom Fitton of Judicial Watch is coming from in regard to the fact that the U.S. Court of Appeals for the D.C. Circuit has said that Hillary Clinton, as the former Secretary of the State, Secretary of State of the United States, does not have to obey a court order requiring her to testify about her emails under oath. This is a totally a contrary situation to longstanding precedent. Quoting Tom Fitton here, it undermines the Freedom of Information Act. It also undermines, and Tom gets into this as you continue to read the statement that we've just posted there where you can actually get into the whole thing, it undermines people's confidence in the impartiality of justice. It undermines people's faith in the Department of Justice and the court system and law enforcement and a major political party which seems to be concerned about any degree of misconduct, as it may or may not have occurred under anyone in the Trump administration or Trump himself. But as long as these very gross evidences of Democratic misconduct are concerned, that all passes by with no one particularly worried about it, whether it involves Bill and Hillary Clinton, or obviously all kinds of things now swirling around Joe and Hunter Biden. The fact that Hunter Biden was featured a night or two ago at the Democratic National Convention on television tells you that all of this stuff that involves Burisma and Ukraine and China is something the Democratic Party is not particularly worried about, no matter how gross it is, no matter how embarrassing it is, no matter how damning it is, because mainstream media will enable them, and mainstream media will enable them in the cover-up by simply not talking about it or bringing it to the attention of people who are not listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network or not listening to UK Generations, people who are not listening to Rents, people who are not reading the American Free Press, and so forth and so on. Unless you're paying attention to these outlets that we staff, if you're relying on CNN, just as one example, you may not even know about this stuff or have forgotten about it. And this gets back to, of course, what Giraldi has told us in these two posts from the UNS review that we have out there at nationalbugle.com. One is that corporations and government are using the internet to control information. Most of what they're trying to control is what we're putting out on the real right. And then, of course, as Giraldi indicates in the post that is at the top of our elections and politics listing at nationalbeagle.com, the mainstream media is the enabler of American dysfunction. So as he puts it, you're talking about the Beirut bombing, the Epstein case, talking about the truth of these riots in Portland and Chicago, talking about this whole issue of Bill Clinton, especially as it relates to Epstein and all other brand of misconduct. It is simply being ignored because obviously and dangerously mainstream media has become an extension of the leftist wing of the Democratic Party. And yes, folks, we will remind you of what we do every once in a while. There are a disproportionate number of Jews who own the big outlets in mainstream media in this country. They are overwhelmingly leftist, overwhelmingly Democratic Party partisans. They are pro-abortion, pro-LGBTQ. Mm-hmm. The Clintons and Biden and Kamala Harris and all of these other folks are among their darlings. And this is why it is left to people like us operating on a shoestring to try and point out to the public what, in fact, mainstream media and the corporations are trying to suppress.
So you have a media, and you correctly pointed out that the media is the bulk of the major outlets are owned and or run by usually both by Jews who have a pro democratic or pro leftist or whatever you want to call it bent to them, and yet still on the in the Republican Party. You still have a lot of very important Jewish influence there. Maybe it's not through the media. Maybe it's through other sources. It's it's certainly through campaign finance, through the likes of Sheldon Adelson and other big money donors. Sure. And then it's manifested in the neocon agenda, which flowered in the Republican Party, although. Tucker Carlson pointed out a couple of nights ago, it seems to be moving over to the Democratic Party. I don't know if you saw Tucker Carlson speaking to Jimmy Dore. Jimmy Dore is somebody who was a former associate of Cenk Uygur, or however you say his name, on the Young Turks. And he's supposedly a comedian, but he has a podcast that's largely political. And he's kind of very... He's like past Sanders. He did support Tulsi Gabbard, and I think Tucker and Jimmy Dore have some overlap right there. And Tulsi Gabbard's name was dropped during that interview, but Dore came on and was saying that the Democratic Party's become the party of war, but of course it's not as if you look at the Republican Party and you still find all these shills for, the Jewish foreign policy agenda. People like Marco Rubio, and practically every Republican in Congress, practically. And even though if you might identify abortion or gay marriage or a lot of other things as Democratic priorities. And Jewish priorities that are championed by the Democratic Party, it's as if the Republicans have been kind of instructed to retreat and or concede on all of those priorities, kind of the way the Democrats in, I guess, the 80s, 90s, 2000s and all more or less rolled over or conceded the neocon spurred Zionist wars, the Zio wars. So,
yes.
I just thought I'd mention that.
Well, and I think it's important that you have, and this gets back to the Edward Curtain story in Lou Rockwell dealing with the clowns and the fact that the circus has come to town in terms of these major party conventions and what passes for political debate in both of the major parties as all of that goes on in mainstream media. Reading through the Curtain piece, the one thing that I kept coming back to with all of the illustrations that he gave involves war. involves empire. At one point in that piece, he talks about the fact that the United States has been militarily involved in, what is it now, 22 different African countries. Congress didn't even know what was going on until something happened, I believe, in Niger that resulted in the death of an American serviceman, if I'm remembering this correctly.
Right.
And all of a sudden, Congress is going, gee, we got troops in Niger. Nobody told us. Well, this is the kind of thing that clearly ought to be discussed and ought to be brought to the attention of the American public by mainstream media, and it's not happening. And this is where I conclude, and I have said this repeatedly for Press Television Iran, for the Tehran Times, for Sputnik when they've talked to me about an issue here or there, that is on the foreign policy, whether you term it neoconservatism, which is the term that tends to be used on the right, or you're talking about neoliberalism or neo-interventionism on the Democratic left, it is war party politics for Zionism. That is overwhelmingly what is being expressed in both of the major political parties. And to me, this gets back to the Pat Buchanan candidacies in 1992 and 1996 in the Republican Party. Buchanan achieved a lot of things in those two campaigns, and I think what he really did was to bring to the attention of a lot of people who were grasping to understand what was happening to the United States, that the American right had been hijacked. Hijacked by Zionism, hijacked by neoconservatism, hijacked by the so-called War Party. And this in turn links up to something that E. Michael Jones covered some time ago, years ago, in Culture Wars. I happen to have this particular issue on my desk as I speak tonight, although I don't have it open to that page. But it deals with the whole question of this book by Murray Friedman dealing with neoconservatism as a Jewish phenomenon. The title is something like that. Mm-hmm. And in Friedman's book, which Mike Jones proceeded to review in Culture Wars, Mike really did an outstanding job of discussing William F. Buckley and National Review as a key turning point in this whole issue of moving the Republican Party away from the kind of Charles Lindbergh America First, Robert Taft America First orientation that it had had historically, and moving it into the direction of the party of war for Zionism and globalism, although it wasn't being referred to in that fashion. And Mike Jones did an outstanding job in that review of Murray Friedman's book on neoconservatism as a Jewish phenomenon, that in fact, National Review in its financing was being financed by people who were not only Zionists, but people who were in the Likudnik wing of the Zionist movement. And, mm-hmm. and the piece named names and talked about the way in which between the CIA and the Mossad, National Review increasingly became a mouthpiece for a foreign policy that whether you were looking at, say, Goldwater or later Reagan, and of course, obviously the Bush Empire after that, was reflective of this fundamental shift in the American right that Pat Buchanan probably had more to do with than anyone else in exposing and saying to people, hey, look, we're going down the wrong road with this. I want a republic, not an empire. We don't need to be involved in 130 different countries with military forces. These Zionist wars have to stop. We're running out of money. We're running out of manpower. We're not dealing with pressing domestic issues, Buchanan said at the time. And he was later proven to be right. I remember this speech he made, I think, at MIT. I'm trying to remember. Was it MIT? It'll come to me in a second. But it was, or it was VMI, actually.
Okay, Virginia Military. Kind of different, yeah, Virginia Military Institute.
Kind of different,
yeah.
From MIT. It was VMI, I believe. But Buchanan was saying, hey, you know, the conservative movement, here we are in the so-called conservative movement in the Reagan era, and we're involved in trying to get rid of the Contras in Nicaragua, or supporting the Contras in Nicaragua, in order to get rid of Ortega. And we're losing our own country in terms of the culture. What's happening in our educational system? What's happening on these pressing social issues? What is happening in terms of the exportation of our economy, our manufacturing economy, to foreign countries, especially China? It was Buchanan that basically brought to my attention in a way that no one else had done prior to that time the extent to which the Republican Party generally and the American conservative movement specifically was a completely different entity than it had been in the run-up to the Second World War. So here we are now in a circumstance in foreign policy. You've got Trump and Pence. You've got Biden and Kamala Harris. And what are we dealing with there? Which Zionist front organization do you want to vote for? I'm about that cynical about it. We've got a serious problem that is not being addressed along those lines, where so much of what is being talked about and dealt with at this major party convention this week, the Democratic National Convention, is window dressing, false dialectic, involves the usual kind of media campaigns, going back to quite a number of them in my lifetime, where real issues related to war, national debt, and culture were simply not being examined or dealt with at all.
Right. Okay, well, we are up on the break. We'll be right back.
Colonel Jackson down the mighty Mississippi took a little bacon and it took a...
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
The Republic Broadcasting Network late night premiere show of Red Pill Hardcore is hosted by activists that want to hear from you, the listeners, so that you can get involved in the activism. Please call in at 800-313-9443 at 10 p.m. to enter the discussion. To book yourself as a guest, call our studio at 202-657-5715 or contact RBN staff. Remember, keep it real and take the red pill.
So, you love talk radio, then you'll love TalkStreamLive.com. TalkStream Live is always on, 24-7, with the best streaming talk shows. Find your favorite talkers and discover some new ones. It's free, readily available online or on mobile with any smartphone or tablet. Finding your favorite talk shows all in one place has gotten a whole lot easier. Just go to TalkStreamLive.com. Be sure to download the free apps from Google Play or the iTunes App Store.
Through the brambles, they ran through the places where a rabbit couldn't go. They ran so fast that a hound couldn't catch system down the Mississippi.
We are back, and we've got time to examine one more of these articles with a little more depth. And how about the Kristallnacht for white Americans? And this is Paul Craig Roberts, former Assistant Secretary of Treasury under the Reagan administration.
Yes, Dr. Roberts has become increasingly articulate and clear about these policies related to Zionism and also the absolute anti-white racism which is taking over.
He's really had an evolution on it. It's not that he was ever on the wrong side of the issues, but in terms of his emphasis, right?
Exactly.
And his focus.
And, yes. And he says, just to give you an example of what's really in this story, quote, "The vicious propaganda in the United States against white people is as bad, if not worse, than the Nazi propaganda against Jews, and will have the same result. Indeed, it already has. What is the difference, Paul Craig Roberts says, between Kristallnacht and the looting and burning of white businesses?" Now, when you start looking at some of the examples that he cites, and one of them is, of course, the Peter Van Buren story from the American Conservative on New York City that we referenced earlier in the show, he has, of course, told us that, in fact, George Floyd was not killed by the police, but by a fentanyl overdose, three times that necessary to kill you. That's something that comes into play briefly in this article. But he goes on to discuss a particular legal case. And in this particular case, you have... of course, these white officers in jail in connection with this George Floyd incident. And yet there were two black Maryland teenagers, cited by Dr. Roberts here, who murdered 59-year-old white John Weed at the county fair for not giving them a dollar.
Mm-hmm.
They were sentenced by a white female judge, Julie Stevenson Solt, to quote-unquote anger management training.
And by the way, the murder is on videotape. You can all see it. You see the punching. This Mr. Weed, he falls to the ground. I guess he hit his head. And then they dance around and celebrate and spit on him as he lies unconscious, never ever to regain consciousness. He died the next day.
Yes, and here you have this white female judge, Julie Stevenson Solt, who sentences these killers to quote-unquote anger management training and quote-unquote behavior modification. Otherwise, these two are unpunished. We get the links on what really happened in that situation in this Roberts story. But, in fact, Paul Craig Roberts reminds us that although this story was covered locally, and he provides one link for that, that it was kept out of national news while white Americans were pumped full of guilt for their quote-unquote racism. Now, this is powerful stuff here because, as Paul Craig Roberts goes on to say, this story is about a lot more than the lack of justice for John Weed and his family. Unlike George Floyd's relatives who benefited from millions of dollars in donations from white people, money did not pour into the coffers of John Weed's relatives. Unlike George Floyd's death, John Weed's did not become a national sensation. White supremacists did not riot, loot, and burn their way through black neighborhoods. You were never even told, says Paul Craig Roberts, about John Weed's brutal murder and the pass that white justice gave to the two black thugs who murdered him, spit on his body, and danced around it in glee. So much, Paul Craig Roberts.
Yeah, at a county fair with people all around watching.
Yeah, exactly. And so when you look at this whole situation, I think what Roberts is basically telling us, whether you're looking at the Weed murder or you're talking about the response to rioting and looting by Democrat mayors in Portland, Seattle, Minneapolis, New York, and Chicago and other places, this has all reinforced the belief of blacks that the racism of white people gives them impunity from their illegal action.
One point I wanted to make is the difference between Kristallnacht and what's going on to white people is that at least with Kristallnacht, and I'm not justifying the violence, but I think there was some justification for the resentment, and there is no justification for this kind of resentment. And in neither case am I justifying the violence.
I understand exactly what you're saying, and I agree with you. And I think what Paul Craig Roberts clearly says in this space is entitled, once more, A Kristallnacht for White Americans, that if the Democratic Party wins this election, both the presidency and if they should control both houses of Congress, you can be sure, folks, that the problems we are already seeing with media, with judicial decisions and so forth, is going to worsen to a point to where the same type of thing that was taking place in the Weimar Republic in Germany is going to happen here.
Okay. Hey, and thank you so much, Mark, and I'll be back again next week with more exciting episodes of National Public Radio.
Is your property a financial burden and causing you grief? Have you tried to sell but can't find buyers? Or are you just too busy to sell your property? Don't worry. We have the right solution for you. We buy properties as is, with cash, close in 30 days, and pay all closing costs. Our service is ideal for property owners who are in pre-foreclosure, have high-end repair costs, experiencing financial hardship, going through costly divorces, are relocating, need cash for retirement, suffering family loss, or have tax liens. Whatever your situation may be, we can help you sell your property and get the money you need. If you own a single-family home or multiple family units, call us for a free consultation at 888-910-1037. That's 888-910-1037. Or visit our website at cashingproperty.com. That's cashingproperty.com. Sell your property fast and leave all your worries behind.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.